last week, I asked you guys, what was the heaviest thing you ever had to lift? You know, we got some interesting, you know, responses, and this week it was kind of fun to talk about that with a couple of my kids, and just kind of hear, you know, what do you think is the heaviest thing you ever could lift? And so, because sometimes it can be super heavy to feel close to God. And these next few weeks, what we're talking about is trying to build momentum in our spiritual life so that we can, especially looking out into a new year, make this year different, this year better. This year, I'm going to get past that stick point that I never seemed to be able to get through last year. I'm going to be able to get over that spiritual hurdle. I'm going to be more consistent. I'm going to be more faithful. I'm going to feel more closer to God and invite Him into my life on a more regular basis. And so we're talking about building spiritual momentum. And today I want to talk about how important that is to our lives. And we've been looking at this definition of momentum and trying to translate that on a spiritual level. The strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow stronger or faster as time passes. And just that, like that snowball tumbling down a hill in an avalanche, just picks up speed and weight and force over time. How can we get built up to where our faith is stronger, and those things that come along in life aren't going to shake us the way they have in the past? And so from now on, we'll be stronger. We'll be part of a strength and a force through God's Spirit that protects us and blesses us in ways that we just couldn't feel because we just didn't have the focus. We didn't have the momentum. We didn't have the help. And so last week we talked about what is so near and dear to my heart. And I hope if you weren't here last week, you'll take some time to go onto the website, and all these talks are posted on there. All the written stuff's on there, the audio stuff. And look into what we call spiritual pathways, because this is such an important way in recapturing that spiritual momentum in your life and really finding that place where you're most naturally closest to God. And whether it's on an intellectual level or a relational level or a service level, we talk about all these different ways we all connect to God in different ways. And so I might connect to God in a way that is just maybe very unnatural for you, and vice versa. So it doesn't matter. There's no one-size-fits-all, cookie-cutter way to be spiritual and to serve God and to trust Him and to be alive in Him. And so He meets us right where we're at. He's created us. I mean, I was, you know, looking at that visual of that DNA that's so unique to that one creation that will never be replicated ever again. Each one of us is so unique, and God has created us in a way that He's going to relate to us in a very specific, wonderfully unique way that many, you know, the person sitting next to you might not connect with God that way. And so the first step in building spiritual momentum is finding that pathway. And again, I hope if you weren't here last week, you'll go back and get some time, or let me take you out for a cup of coffee and one-on-one, you know, help you find what's your pathway so that you can draw closer and closer to God this year. So we talked about finding your pathway last week. Today, I want to talk about what I think is the next step in really drawing closer to God and getting over those hurdles and finding the help to do so, and finding your people. And really living out what the Bible continually teaches us is that we weren't meant to go this alone. We were created to live in community. And I love the way this verse in the Old Testament, in King Solomon's personal diary that's titled Ecclesiastes, how it puts it, two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. And sometimes it's a verse we hear most of the time at weddings. Oh, that's nice and romantic and fluffy, but it's not just, a wedding verse. It's an everyday, real life truth that we weren't created to go solo. We were created to be in partnership and community and surrounded by others in a way that they're helping us and we're helping each other get through life. And so, now, I don't know about you guys, but my favorite stories are always the ones that are about those partnerships, and especially what are called buddy movies, any of the stories that have to do. Now you might be a purist, and I know I've had this discussion with a lot of people, it's like, Batman should have just been Batman. But I like the Batman stories with Robin. I mean, I've just always liked Robin. Robin helps Batman to places that otherwise he wouldn't be able to get through. But what are those other dynamic duos? Me and my little one watched some Lone Ranger this week, and so I got to explain to her the whole background of the Lone Ranger mythology and how he was a Texas Ranger that got ambushed, and here comes faithful Tonto along and really heals him, brings him, nurses him back to life, and they just form one of the, the best bonds, in movie and story. Well, that goes back to the radio days, cowboy history. Okay, what are your other fun buddy movies? I was kind of trying to go over some of my favorites or some of the ones that are the most well known. What would Butch be without Sundance, right? And what would Thelma be without Louise? But what do these two movies have in common? Okay, where are movies? Yeah, that's right. They go up in a blaze of glory, at the end. So unique endings. Okay, so moving from fictional fantasy, and so okay. I always like to toss out questions like, there's two kinds of people in the world. Okay, there are. You're either a Beatles fan or a Stones fan. Well, I guess no. You're pretty much one or the other. Nobody is not one or the not any, right? But what would John be without Paul? And what would Mick even be without Keith? Yeah. I mean, really, the best material is when everybody collaborates and gets together and bounces those ideas off of each other and uses that dual creativity to get to that place where they couldn't get to on their own. Okay, here's a couple more fun ones. And so, what would Joe be without Jerry and Clay and Curry together? So, okay, what else do we got? Okay, so Denise made me put this. Well, there is really no stronger friendship than, Frodo would have not gotten anywhere without faithful Sam at his side, supporting and carrying him through and encouraging him all the way on his mission. My favorite duo, though, of all time. And so, what would Han do without Chewie? What would Chewie do without Han? I don't want to give anything away. Am I safe here? I think everybody's caught up with that story, but in case you're not, I'm just going to leave it there, and you'll see what I mean at some point. Okay, so we need each other, and those are always the best stories. When it's not, it's never, try to think of a story where it's been one guy doing it by himself. That's ever meaningful. We sat down and we rented The Martian. And I was thinking, this might be one of those movies, but he needed, here's an astronaut stranded on Mars, left all alone. Even as an expert in this field, what he's able to do with all his resources, his days are numbered without a team helping him, coming alongside for him. Those are the best stories. Well, those are the real life stories. And that's what it takes in our lives. And I just want to kind of look at three real life Bible stories that bring out this incredible, the strength and beauty and just amazing characteristics of friendship and how important it is. You know, we talk a lot about sports this time of year. You know, you hear all the guys talking about what it takes to gain momentum. And it can be so hard, you know, whether it's in sports or at home or in your workplace, in your marriage, in whatever challenge you're faced with, to get over that hurdle that's been fighting you. Maybe it's something mundane like I shared last week, trying to get to my garage, and just how that's been, you know, just trying to build up momentum to face that chore that you've been ducking for over a year. And so how do we meet those challenges? And so the fact is, we only will meet them well when we have others that come alongside of us, and we come alongside of each other to bring support and focus through and helping each other stay involved and stay focused on our goals, and then persevere through that. And the Bible is full of so many engaging stories where this happens. That I picked my top three that I want to talk about today. And so the first one, we go to the Old Testament. We go to what the Old Testament and the New Testament calls the greatest prophet of Israel, and that's Moses, and the incredible story of a slave family, a Hebrew slave family that through some creativity lands their little one in the royal palace, the royal family. And here Moses grows up, adopted by the royal family, and escaping the Holocaust of his age group. How all the Hebrew babies were going to be wiped out, but he somehow is protected through that, through a miraculous story, and grows up. And many of you know the story, but Moses, here he is called to be in charge of a couple million former slaves, to lead them into freedom. And it's not a job he wanted, but he was tasked with it. And how does he take on this leadership? He finds he has a lot to learn in leadership. And one of the first things that happens to him as he's overwhelmed, trying to do everything on his own, is his father-in-law sits him down and says, "Son, you're just going about this all wrong. Every guy dreads to sit down in front of the father-in-law. And so, but, you know, he said, "Moses, you can't take all this on. You've got to delegate. You need to get some help." And so that was the first step in Moses really becoming a true great leader. But on the way to that, he learned a very important lesson one day in really feeling that. And what was going on was, here they are in the wilderness, and all of a sudden they don't have the protection of Pharaoh and the Egyptian forces that they were comfortable back in Egypt with. Now they're out on their own, and they've got enemies all around them, and they're being attacked on all sides. And so here comes the next group that's trying to destroy them and take away their wealth and resources. And the one thing they have going for is the power of God. And God gifted Moses with this amazing staff that when you use it the right way, would bring water out miraculously out of the rocks to bring nourishment and quench the thirst of all the Israelites. Well, as long as Moses held up this staff with this miraculous power, the Israelites would be defeating their enemy. But as soon as it came down, the Amalekites would be the ones winning. Well, as long as Moses held up his hands, we read next to 17, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Israelites won the day. It's this beautiful picture of two friends, you know,
Aaron is Moses' brother. Two of his closest buddies coming alongside him and not expecting him to be able to do all this on his own. Now, Moses failed to ask for help in this little story. Thankfully, Aaron and Hur saw what was going on.
And they came and had to physically hold him up for him to be able to accomplish what God was calling him to do and to defend and save his people from this attack. And so I want you to think about in your life right now and think about, you know, what's been holding you back and what maybe you've been afraid to ask help for because you felt, well, I can do this on my own. And here's the truth we find out that Moses found out that day. No, we can't do this on our own. That's the cold, hard truth. The comforting reality, though, is it's okay. You weren't supposed to do any of this on your own. You're supposed to have help. None of it is going to work when you take the approach of doing life on your own without inviting and asking and allowing help. And so that day, Aaron and Hur had to step in and show Moses what he needed in order to accomplish the victory that day. And so how much better off would he have been if he had saw that and said, guys, I'm going to need your help in this. How much stress and frustration and fear might have evaporated through starting off with that team approach.
So that was Moses' lesson. Another story. Let's flash forward to the New Testament. And one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite characters in the New Testament, the guy that doesn't get a lot of press, but his name is Barnabas, which literally means son of encouragement. And so here is somebody who was known for being encouraged, coming alongside other people. Now, in the early days of Christian church, there was a lot of turmoil. And if you remember to the series we went through last fall, going through the book of Acts, we left the story out. There were so many good ones to choose from, and I knew we'd get around to highlighting Barnabas' story a little more. But remember how Saul was persecuting the church. But then through a miraculous revelation, he realizes he's really going against he's persecuting God, and Jesus turns his life around and eventually changes his name to Paul. Hopefully to not intimidate everybody that's scared of him, because Paul literally means little. How are you going to be afraid of a guy named Tiny, right? And so eventually everybody, you know, comes to see what God has done in Saul's life. But it took a while, and the early church was really skeptical of this guy's turnaround. Barnabas was the one guy who saw something in Paul, and he reached out to him, brought him to the apostles and said, look, we can trust this guy. God has done a genuine work in his life. But nobody really bought into it. And Paul was relegated back to his hometown of Tarsus, and where he was just really sitting on the sidelines, not doing anything, until one day his friend Barnabas searches him out. And isn't satisfying seeing somebody he knows God has gifted in incredible ways and called on us for this incredible mission to the Gentile world to bust the gospel out of Jerusalem and Judea into the Roman Empire and turn the world upside down. Barnabas could see that God had specifically called and positioned Paul in that way. But he was going to waste. He wasn't doing anything. Nobody was tapping Paul's shoulder and his gifts until Barnabas took that upon himself to get Paul involved in the game, get him off the bench, off the sidelines, into the action. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people
And Antioch became famous for being the first place that the early followers of Jesus were nicknamed Little Christ. It was a derogatory word, by the way. This nickname, Christians, was kind of, they were making fun of them. Oh, you guys think you're just Little Christ running around being all nice and self-sacrificing and loving and all that stuff. Little Christ and Christians. Isn't that funny? That's how that, and the name stuck. People wore it as a badge of honor. Of course, want to be called that. And so, but what I love about Barnabas was he could have done his own thing. He was getting all the pats on the back in Antioch and things were flourishing. But he knew that his friend, Paul, needed somebody that would trust him and help him get back on track. And it's so easy in life to get off track and feel like, is that anybody even miss me? You know, I mean, it's probably the, you know, one of the worst, loneliest feelings you can have is to, let's say a church, for example. You know, you're part of a church community and you haven't been around for a few weeks and the sudden thought is, I've been too busy, I haven't been able to make it. Well, probably nobody cares anyway, you know, or am I missed? And how good it feels when you get a little phone call or a text that says, hey, you know, I've been missing you, how are you doing? I mean, there's just no denying in the human heart how wonderful it is when we find out we're missed and needed. Love to see you this Sunday. You know, just translate that to whatever context you feel that you're out of the loop on. You know, whether, you know, it's whatever group that you really want to be a part of, or you're trying to make that commitment and you just haven't been able to. Maybe it's you have that feeling in your family. You know, life can get so busy in your neighborhood. Does anybody even know I'm here? And God's calling each of us to dispel that feeling amongst ourselves. None of us should ever have to wonder or question or doubt, you know, does anybody care? Am I missed? Because we all need somebody that's keeping track of us. That famous line in the Bible where Cain is question from God. Cain, where is Abel? The first two brothers and the first brotherly relationship that goes south. And Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is a resounding yes. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. Again, we weren't created to go this alone. We need each other. We need each other to help us stay involved. Get through life and answer the calling on our lives that God has put on us to serve in this world, to make a difference. And so, do you have someone in your life that's checking in on you? Who should you be checking in on? Who should be on your list that needs to be call up and corral and say, hey, how are you doing? Where have you been? I need you in my life. Let's get through this together. Okay, one of the most awful stories in the Bible, but we can't leave it out of this, even though it's a failure and sometimes contrasts with some of the best lessons, best ways to learn some lessons. But in the whole answering the whole question of how can we help persevere and endure together to get to that finish line and make it through and get over that hurdle and unstuck ourselves from what's those stick points that are holding us down. We find out, this is kind of the last, this just leaves no room for argument anymore. that we need each other, because here's a story where even the Son of God
shows us he needed his friends there for him. And it's Jesus' darkest hour in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible describes his physical, emotional condition as one that is so full of angst, anxiety, and frustration, and stress, that he is literally, this is a medical condition that actually happens when a human being is under an inordinate amount of stress, that you can actually sweat droplets of blood. I mean, think of how tense life has to get for that to happen.
Because Jesus knew what was around the corner for him as he was praying to his heavenly Father. And he turned around and he said to his best friends that were doing their best to stick through thick and thin with him. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup," this calling, this task that was ahead of him, "be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Ultimately, it was more important for Jesus to do his Father's will than his own. And so he drank that cup of the crucifixion. But then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" And the disappointment we hear in Jesus' voice is that disappointment we read here in any of our friends' voices. You know, when you find out that you were needed, and you got to wonder, I'm sure this is the case, that the disciples looked at Jesus and they thought, "He's the Son of God. He's always turning around doing miracles. What does he need me for?" But Jesus made it very clear, "Yeah, guys, you make a big difference to me. I need you. For just to stay up with me." And we all know how when we've gone through some stressful times. Okay, remember, how did you deal with that breakup in high school or college, you know, where your heart was broken? You know, did you go through that alone? Maybe it was just you and a big bowl of ice cream, I don't know. But most likely, it was you and somebody that you didn't mind looking your worst in front of. Seeing your cry face, you know, right? You know, just being a blubbering idiot in front of you. Because we need that, and it's how good it feels when someone, and you never know what the right thing to say is. In so many of those situations where, you know, and not to demean those teenage, you know, breakups and romances, but those aren't the most important things in life. You know, losing a loved one and how heartbroken and devastated you can be. And the person sitting across from you or sitting next to you is speechless, doesn't know the right words. It doesn't matter. Just being there. That's what counts. That's what we need in those moments. It's just that physical presence of another human being that just brings that comfort, that company. And again, it's another clue that that's what we were created for. We weren't created to go through these moments that life is made up of alone, in solitude. Even though, remember, last week we looked at one of the pathways to meeting God is solitude. That's fine. We all need those chunks of time. But that isn't how you go through all of life. We need to have a buddy. That's why the buddy system always works. And that's why it's so vital in our lives. Even the Son of God needed some pals to just stay up with him. You don't need to say the right thing. You don't need to do anything. Just be there for him. And how much we need that, how important that is. Because it is virtually impossible to create momentum by yourself. Just you in a vacuum. You need others in your life. I know I do. I can't. The best I can do by myself is stagnant. But most likely I'm going to drift to where I don't want to be, where I don't want to go back to. But that is what I'm going to happen. At best, I'm going to just merely stagnate. Without others in my life that I can count on to bring that kind of support, to keep me focused and involved, and to sit through the junk with me. The hard times, the times that aren't making sense, the times that are confusing, you know, as a parent, the different challenges and questions out there that can be so frustrating. Having other parents speaking into my life, you know, and bringing encouragement and advice and wisdom, you know, from their experience. Whatever role you are in, I know I've got a Rolodex of pastor friends that I can't go very long without making a connection with. Otherwise, I'm feeling lost. I'm feeling, you know, like I'm drifting. I talked to one this last week who is just one of my go-to guys when I just need to feel understood. And he always comes through for me. He's just, that's why I need him in my life. He's just one of those guys that I can always share anything with. And what goes from a kind of a tense, troublesome conversation ends up with relaxed laughter because of that friendship and how God uses others in our lives. So who's your buddy? Don't go into 2016 without a buddy. It's like when we tell our kids when they're little and we're on a field trip. You know, it's like, don't go anywhere without holding the hand of your buddy. You're not allowed to go anywhere without a buddy. Okay, so for 2016, don't go alone. You're not supposed to. I don't want to say you're not allowed to. We're all grown ups here, but I want to say that. I want to say you're not allowed to go into this year without at least one person, and several is even better, that's going to walk with you through life. And if you're sitting here today going, well, I would love to do that, where do I start? Well, we've got lots of places around here to start. Maybe if you're a gal, maybe the best place to start is to go on a hike with some other women and start making some more friendships around church, or you know, getting more involved in one of the ministry roles we have around here. Sometimes one of the best ways to make a connection and feel a part of things is just be rubbing shoulders with other people that are helping out. Join a small group. That is probably the best way. You know, we've got a couple different small groups. They both have room to grow. And if, you know, we've got a Tuesday night men's and women's group. We've got a Thursday morning women's group. But if neither of those fit your schedule, we are ready to start new groups. We've got people waiting to do that. And we'll make a group that meets your needs. And if maybe just one-on-one, just having a regular time, maybe it's every week or every other week, we're getting together for coffee or lunch with another guy. You know, something you meet after work, or you meet before work, or you meet at lunch, but something where you start to build that friendship that's going to carry you and start to build that spiritual momentum, because you can't do it on our own. To be able to have a place where we can talk to somebody we can trust. And that is going to, when two people that are doing their best to follow God get together and start working on a relationship, it's this weird exponential burst of momentum that happens that God uses to bring those people together.
into a closer walk spiritually. And so it just happens. It's just the way we were created. When Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, there I am with them. And that's what brings us closer to God, by coming together and following Him together. That's just the formula. That's how God designed things, because He's a Father. And He loves His family. He loves His kids. And He wants to bring us all closer together. So, find your buddy. And if you're having trouble, that's what I'm here for. Let me help you find that buddy for this year. Whether it's one-on-one or with a group, or however it's going to work best for you, let's do that together. So as Ryan comes on up, I just want to read you this verse. It's iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That little analogy from the world of metalsmithing, or whatever it's called. We need each other to get better, to build momentum. And this ancient verse, it's been around for thousands of years, speaks so clearly to our hearts. We're going to get dull. We're going to fade away unless we have others in our life sharpening us, honing us in on a soul level. Get to that next place God has for us. So, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we know, even though for many of us it can be tough to live that way, we know that we weren't created to be alone. Created to be in your family and be surrounded by those who deeply care for us, so we can walk through life together. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone here that this year would be different, better than last year. And a big part of it would be because of the feeling of belonging, being part of a community, and having friendships that bring us closer to you. We can be part of that. We can be part of bringing others closer to you. And so, Lord, show us how we can do that and who we can do that. And we pray all of this.
As Ryan leads us in worship, every Sunday we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and you're invited to his table in your own timing as we sing the next few songs. Come and take from the bread and the cup. And what we do here is we just take a piece of bread and dip it in juice and have that time where we meet Jesus one-on-one. And we believe that he meets us in a special way as we come together and worship as a church. And we do that together. And so you're invited to his table. Let's stand up and let's sing. And if anybody would like to pray, I would love to pray with you. I'll be in the back.